All right, we're beginning here on the bottom of Yud Gimel Amud Bet, at the beginning of the new Perek. Ve'elu mutarim. These are nidarim that are mutarim. As the Ran points out, in the first Perek, we dealt with nidarim that are asurim. Now we're going to deal with nidarim that are mutarim, which don't work. Chulin sholchal lecha, which the Gemara will discuss. Chulin sholchal lecha, there's no havamina to think that there should be any neder over here. Using a term chulin, which has no meaning or bearing in terms of kedusha or hatpasa, so chulin shochalucha, of course, that is mutar. So the Gemara will address that question. Kibasar chazir, kuavudat kochavim, kearot lebuvim, kinevelot vitrefot, kishkatzim viramasim, kechalat aron uchutrumato mutar. So all of these items, if you use them to be matpis the neder, you are not successful. We've bumped into a couple of them before, but the main reason is that these are issues that are davar ha-asur, but not a davar ha-nadur. The reason that these things are restricted is because the Torah tells you that they are restricted. They're not restricted because they are davar ha-nadur, because they're something that you imposed, or something that was created by you to create the isur, and therefore they don't work to create hatpasa over here. So we have a series of items, kibasar chazir, which is asur ba'achila. You have avodat kochavim, which is also asur ba'ana'a. And then you have orot lebuvim, which are even more extreme, because not only are they asur because they are avodah zarah, but they're tekrovet avodah zarah, which means that they're offered up to avodah zarah, and they can't be batel. I mean, avodah zarah, if the akum is mevatel the avodah zarah, then it loses its status as avodah zarah. On the other hand, by orot lebuvim, what the Mishnah is speaking about, orot, are skins. Lubuvim comes from the word lev, from the heart, which is that they used to cut out from the area opposite the heart, from the skin, and they used to take out the heart alive to sacrifice it. It was part of their service. But that makes it into tekrovet avodah zarah, which is asur legamre. Nevelot, trefot, shkatzim, ramasim, obviously are all asurim min haTorah. By nevelot and trefot, you have the addition of tumah. And then by Shkatzim v'Ramasim, they have Tuma plus that their shiur is ke'adasha, not like the standard kezayit by other items. Chalat aron u'tumato. Shumar chala add on the additional aspect that they are asurin lezarim, and they come with the chiyuv mita b'day shemayim. Chalat aron u'tumato we did on Friday's daf, where we discussed the Gemara wanted to be midayek from our Mishnah, that chalat aron u'tumato are mutar, aval. Trumat chalat todah would be a sur, that would work as a neder. And there the Gemara was discussing whether you can be matpis b'ikaro, whether that was the case in that situation. Gemara rejected that havamina. But there we discuss chalat aron and trumato, the reason that they are davar asur, not a davar nadur, according to the Ran, the Shitoto, is because the isur does not apply to kohanim. The isur only applies to zarim. And that's evidence of the fact that your neder, or your separation of the Truma is not what generates the Isur over here. If that was the case, then everybody would be Asur. The fact that the Kohanim are Mutarim already shows you the Isur has nothing to do with the Neder and everything to do with the restrictions of who can eat it and a Isur and not the Neder. That's one way to look at it. The others that suggest that by Trumot and by Chala, you can only separate that from something that is Chayav in Truma and Chala. And therefore, if that's the case, you cannot be deemed as something that is davar nadur, because you really don't have a choice. You can't choose what to make into challah. You can't choose what to make in truma. Only things that are chayav in truma can you make in truma. Only things that are chayav in challah can you make into challah. The other opinion that we saw about the Tosafot was that before the point of hafreshat truma, or before the point of hafreshat hachalah, it's actually asur because of tevel. And therefore, the hafrasha over here is not a davar nadur that makes something asur, but rather a davar amatir. It's what makes it mutar to eat the shiraim, and makes this object mutar to the kohanim. So it's actually not even a davar nadur, but rather a davar amatir. So now then we have this last line in the Mishnah, which is a qualifier. Omer lishto, hare at alai ki ima. If he says to his wife, you are to me like my mother, his mother being asura because she's an erva. So if he makes such a statement, potchim lo petach mikom acher, then we ask him to get hatarat nidarim for this, but we will not open it up with his kavod of his mother. I mean, that would have been the natural way to be shuel al neder here, is to say, would you have said something this if it's poge in your mother's kavod? Would you have done such a thing? We don't allow that direction, because by the fact that he formulated in this way, in of itself shows that it wasn't something that mattered to him in terms of kavod. And the reason that we do this is shalo yakel rosho lekach, is that it should not be mekel when it comes to nidarim. And over here, the Mefarshim, and we'll see in the Gemara as well, explain that the statement of the Mishnah here is really for the Amei Aretz. And as we know, and we've discussed before, it seems to be that nidarim were prevalent in their time, but prevalent not being used in L'shem Shamayim, but in a vindictive way, or a way to, when they were in spats or quarreling, people used nidarim. So the idea here that he's taking a neder against his wife is already an indication of some sort of anger or some sort of misplaced neder that's coming out of domestic dispute, and therefore we want to discourage that type of behavior. So technically it's mutar legamre. And if that's the case, then you wouldn't need hatarat nedarim because it doesn't take effect here. His mother is a sur to him, not nadur to him. That means that pasul doesn't work at all. But the mere fact that it's a domestic issue that will come up on a regular basis, therefore we discourage this type of behavior by telling the individual that they're going to have to get a terat nidarim for this, so that in the future they do not engage in these type of nidarim. The other possibility, which we'll see in the Gemara, a question of whether how much that is related to this, is that we also don't want the Am Haaretz making his own decisions about what is mutar and what's not mutar. We tell them this is mutar, then they're likely to be even more mekil with nidarim, because they think, oh, I could take a neder, and then it doesn't take effect at all. They don't understand maybe the difference between ima and other items, and therefore we want to make sure they get a petach l'neder so that it doesn't repeat itself over here. Taima damar chulin shochal lecha. It's obvious that the word chulin is not necessary in the Mishnah, so it must be coming to teach us at least something else or some diuk out of the word, because he said chulin shochal lecha, ha amar. On the other hand, had he chosen to say la chulin shochal lecha, mashma lo chulin lahave ela kurban. So from our Mishnah, the fact that the Mishnah chose as an example of heter chulin shochal lecha, that which I eat from you is chulin, which obviously means that's totally mutar. The fact that the Mishnah used that and not the language of la chulin would be lo chulin, and therefore it would imply lo chulin ela hekdesh. Show chalacha, that which I eat from you, which would engage the neder, because then you're being mapis be'egdesh. So, but our Mishnah does not do that, implying that it thinks that lachulin show chalacha would be asur. And if that's the case, mani matnitin, who's the author of our Mishnah? If Rabbi Meir is the author of Mishnah, ha lately michlal lavata shumehain. We already know in Rabbi Meir's shita that he does not allow for inferences. Just because you state something in the negative doesn't mean you can reinterpret it in the positive. And vice versa, Drew, if you state it in the positive, you can't automatically reinterpret it in the negative. And therefore, la chulin would have no meaning, according to Rabbi Meir, because that would require you to say, la chulin ela hekdesh. Now that's despite the fact that we saw earlier that Rabbi Meir's position might be, when it comes to these items, that he does say, la milcha la batashumehein. Here the Gemara is sholel that efsharut completely, which is that even lachulin, he would not accept that as being an inference that is proper. Ve'elor Rabbi Yehuda. So now if you tell me that the author of our Mishnah here is Rabbi Yehuda, ha'inu reisha. That's the same as the reisha. Now reisha here, there's no reisha to the Mishnah. You're looking at the first Mishnah in the Perek. Reisha means the Mishnayot from the first Perek. And in the first Perek we said Mishum Rabbi Yehuda. Over there they quoted Rabbi Yehuda about the Kafa Dimyom. So already Rabbi Yehuda is mentioned earlier, and now you're telling me the same thing that we saw earlier in the Mishnayot of the first parak. So as the Ran says, if you were going to come to tell me that Rabbi Meir is the author of the Mishnah, then there would be a chiddush in the Mishnah. That Rabbi Meir, even in this case, even though in general he will not allow you to make inferences from the positive to the negative, in this situation he would have allowed you to do it, and it would be a sur. That's a chiddush. But on the other hand, if you simply state the word chulin shochal lecha, and now you're telling me that it's authored by Rabbi Yehuda, what are you teaching me that I wouldn't have known from the first parak? And that's the question of the Gemara. So, Aydel tani kebasar chazir ka'avodat kochavim, v'hachik tani chulin, because it wrote kebasar chazir ka'avodat kochavim, which also are dvarim ha-mutarim, Then also he wrote, Chulin, Ravina Amar, Hachiktani. This is how to read it. Ve'edu mutarim ki chulin. These are items that are mutar like chulin. Now you can read this one of two ways. Mm-hmm. You can either read this, ve'edu mutarim ki chulin, as colon afterwards, which means that these things are mutarim like chulin, and then here's a list of those items. The Ran and others suggest over here that the interpretation is ve'edu mutarim ki chulin. These are similar to saying kechulin sho'chal lecha. So it's just like if you said kechulin sho'chal lecha, it has no meaning. So too, kebachaser chazir kuvadat chochavim. So whether the colon comes after the kechulin, or is velu mutarim kechulin is giving an example of a neder that doesn't work, that these nederim are also similar to that, you could read it either one of those ways. Mar says, v'ilo tano chulin hava mina bayishelo. Are you telling me now, had the Mishnah not written the word chulin, that you would have had a havamina, that you require hatarat nidarim for these types of nidarim? Meaning that, why would you write it, ha'ilu mutarim ki chulin? These are like chulin, which means that they're meaningless nidarim. Meaningless nidarim means that you don't even have to go to the chacham to get hatarat nidarim. We assume that they are batel me'elehem. So Nagmar says, umi ikal asuke al-da'ata hochi. How would you ever have a havamina that you would require a tadra'at nidarim for the items mentioned in the first part of this Mishnah? Havamina k'tani seifa. The latter half of the Mishnah says, Omer lishto, haret alai ki ima, potchin lo petach mimakom acher. Michlal, duresha lo bayishela. It's clear that the first half of the Mishnah does not have that qualification. And therefore, the first half of the Mishnah is not talking about a case where you would even have a havamina that you require a tadra'at nidarim. Ella, michavarta, chulin memela nasibo. So it's clear here that chulin is just brought down. Either one of two ways to explain it, the way Rashi seems to explain it is kadi, that it was brought down for no reason at all, that it's not meaningful in any way that they brought down the word chulin, or others just say that it's kadi nasibo, which is, we learn some halacha from it, which is the fact that la chulin would be asur, but it's not necessary because we already had Rabbi Yehuda in the first perek. We don't need to know this information. We know that he says that la would also mean lo, and he's doresh, michlal, lava, tashum, hehein. But since we're already listing nidarim that are mutarim, we're going to throw in this other neder that is mutar in the list, even though there's no additional meaning or additional benefit to writing this chulin in there. The Gemara said before that elu mutarim kechulin, even though the Gemara rejects that answer, but it's somewhat along those lines, which is, these nidarim are so not a neder, they're just like chulin. And that's maybe the explanation in the end. So now the Gemara says, Minahani mile. How do you know that this is the case? And when the Gemara is asking, how do you know that this is the case, is, how do you know that when you take a neder and are matpis b'davar asur, that it doesn't work? And when you're matpis b'davar nadur, it does work. Amar kro, because the pasuk says, Ish ki dor neder la'ashem, ad shi dor b'davar hanadur. So that's coming from the double lashon, ki idor neder. That double lashon teaches you that you have to be noder, bedavar nadur. That your neder has to connect back to something that is nadur in order to generate the neder. As the Rosh points out, and most of the Rishonim believe, that this only according to the one who says that lo dibra torak lashon b'nei adam. So we saw earlier that if the dibra torak lashon b'nei adam, the double lashon has no meaning. And therefore, the Rosh says over here, "Man diitle dibra torak l'shom bnei adam dorish le milei Hashem." He learns that out of the word l'Hashem. Afagav de Rashi le the kaman melamed shen darim chalim advar mitzvah k'davar reshut tarvayu shemaminan mina. He learns out both items from this. Even though we need l'Hashem for a drasha, we're going to see later on that the darim impact on mitzvot. Nevertheless, he'll use l'Hashem for both of them because dibra torak l'shom bnei adam. He doesn't have this double lashon of kidor neder or the suri sar is not meaningful to that individual. That's why most of the Rishonim believe that this Gemara is according to the Manda Omar that lo dibra Torah k'lashon b'nei adam ish kidor neder l'ashem ad shidor b'davar hanadur. So according to most Rishonim, that means that the only way to generate a neder is through hatpasa. This is what the pasuk is teaching you, that hatpasa is the basis for all nidarim. And the reason Hadpasa is important is because by Nidarim, we know that it focuses on the Chetza, on the object itself. So the only way to generate Isur in a Chayfetz is to move the Isur, which is Nadur, from one item over to the other item. And that's how you create this Hadpasa, how you create a Neder, is the transference of a concept of Kedusha, or the ability to be Osir, something that's otherwise Mutar, transferring that over to another object. So that's what the Gemara says over here. That's the source for it. The Yerushalmi focuses on the word Lashem. It says, Ishki Dor Neda Lashem, that's what it teaches you, Lashem, that it's got to be something that you dedicated, in a sense, to Hashem, something that you made Kodesh, and that's how they know that it's Davar Nadur. Iachi, Avilu B'Davar Asur Nami. So, if Davar Nadur works, then certainly Davar Asur should work. I mean, Davar Nadur is something that you make into Isur. On the other hand, something that's Asur is always Asur. It's constantly, permanently Asur. That should even be better at creating a Neder. Daktiv, Lesor Isar. Because we have the double Lashon of Lesor Isar L'Nafsho, that should teach you also the ability to create an Isur through another Isur. Lesor Isar, Miboyele. The Gemara says, no, Lesor Isar we need for another Limud. Negretanyo, like the brighter that we had in the first parak, Ezo Isar Amur B'Torah. What is the Isar Amur B'Torah? And then it gave us the example of Yom Shemit Bo Aviv, the day that his father passed away, that he's trying to be Mapis in the day itself. The Rambam learned from this that Ezo Isar Amur B'Torah, the Sor Isar comes to teach you that you have the ability to make something that was otherwise Mutar, Asur. And that's the Chiddush here, that is brought by Le'Sor Isar. So Tosavot says that once you have Le'Sor Isar, then why do you need Lindor Neder? So Tosavot says that you would have had a Havamina, B'Yesh Lamar, Delotema, the Davar Asur Chamir, Perish Tvelad Pisbo, Midavar Anadur. Don't think that Le'Sor Isar is the primary way to create a Neder, and Davar Anadur is not the way to create Hatpasas. And Yekidor Neder tells you or defines for you that Le'Sor Isar only comes through a Davar Anadur, not through a Davar Isur. Because there's many reasons to believe that a Davar Asur, as I mentioned before, would work in Hatpasah because of its persistent and permanent type of Isur that is associated with it. So over here, the Ran explicates on his explanation that he gave back there, as well as based on the Gemara in Shavuot, which is actually the main sugya. Shavuot Achav Tachav Aleph has this main sugya about Ezu Isar Amur B'Torah. The Ran here explains that he thinks that the Chiddush of Ezu Isar Amur B'Torah is the fact that you can be matpis, not only with a neder that makes something asur to everyone. So for instance, if you're makdish an animal, that animal now becomes asur to you, but also becomes asur to everyone. You've changed the object from an object of heter to an object of isur, but isur that is, an isur that is so broad that it affects everyone. So in that case, if you're matpis, the neder in that object, it makes sense. We know that you can transfer such kedusha. The question is, can you transfer kedusha when there's limited isur associated with that object? So for instance, if you limit the isur to, limit it to achila and not to hana'a, or you limit it to yourself and not to anyone else. So the example that was brought in the Ezu Isar Amur B'Torah was the case Yom Shemit Bo Aviv. So over there he says that I won't eat basar v'yayin ki Yom Shemit Bo Aviv. So there you have both limitations. It's only a restriction against eating wine or eating meat. It's not an Isur Anah. And number two, it only reflects on himself. So that Isur, B'Yom Shemit Bo Aviv, on the day that his father passed away, the neder that he took on that day, not to eat basar v'yayin, was something that was very limited. Can you use that to be matpis to something else? The answer in the end is yes. And that's the Chiddush of Ezu Isar Amur B'Torah. Teaches you that not only is it Davar Nadur, but even something that's Davar Nadur that's limited. Not something that's so expansive like Hekdesh, but something that's more limited like the Yom Shemit Bo Aviv, where it's only dealing with him and it's only dealing with Achila. Nevertheless, we're able to be matpis. And therefore, according to the Ran, and the Ran probably takes it out of the Rambam, seemingly that Atpasa is a method for getting to a neder, but not the only way. There is something called the Ikar Neder that a person can take, a neder that says, Hare Alai, and they can generate the neder even without Hatpasa. Now, what does that mean that you could generate a neder without Hatpasa? Now, the Ran himself disagrees with this later on in the Masechta, and in the Gemara and Shavuot, he doesn't seem to say this. But on Daf Bet, he did say that you can have Ikar Neder, you can take even without Hatpasa. And it seems in the Rambam that he passed on Halacha with regards to Mi'ilah and other objects, that there is a way to create a neder without Hatpasa. Over there, the Rambam might distinguish between the neder that is created through Hatpasa and not created through Hatpasa. A neder that's created through Hatpasa basically uses Hekdesh as the premise for its neder, and therefore transfers over dinim of Hekdesh into the neder. And if someone violates the neder, then they're not only in violation of Ba'yachel Devaro, but they're also in violation of Mi'ilah. Because in a sense, They are, you're taking something that's quote-unquote hektesh, even though it's not hektesh in the sense of belonging to hektesh, but in the sense that you've transferred the kedusha from hektesh onto this object. That hatpasa has a din where it'll be a sur, you'll get malkot for it, you might be in violation of milah. But then there might be a neder, where if you don't use hatpasa, but you take the ikar neder, where you generate the nisur, but that nisur will not be subject to malkot, because the pasuk that will generate the malkot of Baal Chil Devaro is written by, first of all, hektesh, but also in a sense using the lesor isar, or they're using kidor neder, that is something that has hakpasa. So therefore, you will create an isur through this type of neder, but you won't create an isur that generates malkot, or that generates an isur milah. Milah is not shayach if you do it in a way that doesn't use hakpasa from hektesh. So therefore, the Rambam has two dinim, the gabei nedarim, and that might be explained by this distinction in whether you use hakpasa or don't use hakpasa to generate the neder. Now that's, in general, machloket rishonim. Most rishonim believe you need hakpasa. We saw the Ran, and now I'm telling you that the Rambam says a similar thing, that there is an ability to create a neder without hakpasa. What the nature of that neder is, once you've taken it without hakpasa, the Rambam downgrades it, and says that neder works, but only creates iser, not malkot, not a chiyuv mi'ilah. And the Ran doesn't make such a distinction, but seemingly he is premising it on the Rambam Shita, or where the idea that there is an ikar neder, maybe in that case, he would say that there's even malkot, although it's not clear. The Ran never addresses that issue, or never speaks about it clearly. Ran over here says, Ilkach, lein alocha, becomes a paskin alocha, naktina de matpis bedavar asur lo avi neder. You do what pasa with something that's asur, it's not a neder. Here we just learned it out from the sukim. Velo tzarich sheila klal. You don't even need to get a tarat nedarim. Fafilu ba'amaretz. Even the namaretz, because it's so obvious. So what the Ran is saying is that our Mishnah is divided in half. Our Mishnah has the first half, where an Amaris does not require Atarat Nidarim, and the second half, where he does require Atarat Nidarim, similarly because it's about his wife. It's a domestic issue, or but that's a place that he takes on a dream. That's the only place that we require it, as he says we wrote in the Mishnah, because that's something that's very common, and therefore we have to be gozer. Aval, matpis bidavara nadur, someone takes a hadpasa with a davar hanadur, then vafilu b'davar she'eno nadur elolo bilvad chayil. Even if it's something that's only nadur to himself, that's chayil, that's the Ran's chiddush with regards to what ezu yisara amur b'torah, what it teaches you. V'hani milei matpis b'neder. That's only if he uses hadpasa b'neder. Avo matpis b'shvua lo mehaimi. Hadpasa by shvua does not work. The kaima lo meperk shvua shtayim batra, the matpis b'shvua lav kemotzi shvua mipiv dami. Someone does hatpasa b'shvua as if he didn't take a shvua. Dainu, and what's the reason? Ainu taimo, mishum de neder chalal chayfetz. That the reason that neder works with hatpasa is because you focus on the object. B'fikach shumatpis chayfetz b'chayfetz ra'u ishi'ichol. If you're matpis one object with another object, hatpasa works. Av ha'shvua ho'oser atzmo min ha'chayfetz. But the case of shvua, it's you, it's the yachas, it's the relationship of the individual to the object. Over there, hatpasa makes no sense. So, if that's the case, hatpasa is only a vehicle that can be used by nidarim. On the other hand, hatpasa is not a vehicle that can be used by shvua. But then the Ran writes in the end, v'ikadaman damar, dehidamat pis b'shvua, lav kemotzi shvua mipiv, dami, hani mila dinyon kurban, umalchot, aval isura miyaika. But there should still be a isur left behind. And he says, v'enu mechuvar. He says, I don't understand that at all. Kamo shekatavti, in shvuot, that it makes no sense to use hatpasa by shvua, and hatpasa shouldn't even create an isur. Forget about creating a full-fledged shvua. It shouldn't create an isur at all, because it's just not a functional method in shvua, because it doesn't focus. Hatpasa is all about the object. It's all about the kedusha or the nadur status of the object, and transference of that to another object. That just can't be done when you're talking about a human being, when you're trying to create a relationship between you and the object. Then in that instance, it doesn't matter. Hatpasa is not the issue. The object remains a heter object. It's that you cannot engage with that object. And therefore, hatpasa is not a meaningful statement over there. We've discussed before the idea by nazir, that hatpasa does work by a nazir. Over there, many of the Farshim say it's b'kedushat nazir, that he's matpis. I also said that it might be that the nazir himself becomes the chayfetz. That a person takes an ed in nizirut, transforms himself into a chayfetz of nazir. And therefore, hatpasa works because He can now take that status, or that him being the object of the Neder Nizirut, and then that can be transferred, be mutpas onto another object. Yeah. Alright. Veraminu, the Gemara says, based on the latter half of the Mishnah, Omer lishtari atalai ki ima. Veraminu, are atalai ki basar ima, ki basar achuti, ki urla, ukikilaya kerem, lo amar klum. Doesn't work at all. Amar abai lo amar klum, mi do oraita. Vitzarech sheila, mi de rabanan. So the way that Rabbi is reading it now, our mission is not exclusive to Kibasar Ima. It means any Isur would generate this problem. And that the Nether, you're right, is not Chal Midoraita, just like in our mission, it's not Chal Midoraita. But this is a rabbinic imposition that we want you to get a threat in Nidarim so that you don't regularly take these types of Nidarim. The distinction is between who is taking the Nether over here. In the case of a Talmid Chochom, versus an Am Haaretz. When it comes to an Am Haaretz is engaged in Nidarim on a regular basis, and therefore, we want him to get a Taret Nidarim. And in wanting him to get a Taret Nidarim, we want him to get a Taret Nidarim in order to stop or to warn him against doing this or engaging in this type of behavior. Or, we don't want him thinking that it's easy to unwind Nidarim, so therefore he doesn't care about taking Nidarim, or he'll unwind them in cases where it's not so clear that he could have had Atarat Nidarim. So for that reason, we impose on the Am Haaretz. On the other hand, by Talmidei Chachamim, as the Ran says over here, Kevin Detani Lo Amar Klum, Ashma Sheino Tzirich Sheila Klal. That's what the Braita that we just quoted over here, that doesn't require anything, Lo Amar Klum, is referring to Talmid Chacham. Because either a Talmid Chacham knows when a Neder is Chal or not Chal, or a Talmid Chacham doesn't engage in Nidarim, because as Rashi says, it's a unique circumstance. It was out of character for the Talmid Chacham to take such a neder, whether a nedarim in general or a neder against his wife. And therefore, we're going to look at that as an exception to the rule rather than the rule. And we don't have to dissuade him or discourage him from doing it in the future. So here you have a distinction between the Am Haaretz and the Talmidei Chachamim. Okay, very good. So the Ran said that with regards to the Am Haaretz, it only applies to the wife. And that's the only instance where you worry about him. That's because of the Ran's explanation before that it's common for them to engage in Nidarim, in these types of domestic quarrels. And that's why they want to stop it. On the other hand, the Rambam passes Alocha, obviously subject to much controversy, that an Am Haaretz needs a Hatarat Nidarim in all the cases of the Mishnah. Similar to Abaye's explanation of the Braita in a sense, but that it applies across the board and not just on Ishto being the primary issue. And therefore, Talmid Chacham will never need Hatarat Nidarim in this case. Am Haaretz will always need Hatarat Nidarim in this case. Nothing to do with Ishto, but in general for Nidarim. And then again, might go back to how you explain Lo Yakelet Rosho Bekach. Is Lo Yakelet Rosho Bekach specifically, like the Ran says, because of the wife? And that's a common occurrence and something behavior wanted to sway. Or Lo Yakel Rosho Bekach is about Nidarim in general, and the fact that if you give him a Hatarat Nidarim, he may not know to distinguish when the Neder takes effect or doesn't take effect, so we want him to come to the Chacham in all instances. That might be the approach of the Rambam, but the Rambam says that it applies not only to Ishto, but to any Isur, all the other Isurim that are said over here. So Gemara says, V'atanya, Hanuder Batorah Lo Amar Klum. Person who takes the Neder Batorah, which the Gemara will explain in 1 second, what does that mean, Hanuder Batorah Lo Amar Klum. And you do need Sheilat Chacham in that case. But Talmid Chacham Eino Tzarich Sheila. But a Talmid Chacham does not require Hatarat Nidarim. If that's the case, then the Vahatani over here is Vinichuta, trying to show you that we have other instances where there's a distinction between what we'll do with the Talmid Chacham and what we'll do with the Am Haaretz. Now, as we'll see in the Gemara coming up, it's not so clear that this example is similar to the example that we gave before. If the example is not the same, then you would not expand this idea that an Am Haaretz requires Sheila for any neder. It might have specifically have to do with Torah, and we'll see in a second why, because the Torah needs a finer distinction. So depending on what you think the reason is by Ishto, either this is an exact case, a parallel case, and therefore the Gemara is proving through this distinction between Talmid Chacham and Am Haaretz, or on the other hand, if it's not the exact same case, then it's just parallel in showing you that we make such distinctions between Am Haaretz and a Talmid Chacham, but not that this case is similar to the case of the Mishnah. Because the case of the Mishnah is because of Ishto, And the case of here is because of Torah, which is a distinction that is for a different reason, as we'll see now in the second half of the daf. So obviously, how you read this latter braita as a proof to the previous case, whether you just mean in a structural sense that you have a difference between Talmud Chacham and Aham Haaretz, versus if you think that it's the same type of case, will have an impact on whether you think this has application outside of Ishto, or is it uniquely have to do with domestic quarrels and not to all Nedarim of an Aham Haaretz. Tanya. Hanoder b'Torah lo amar klum. Someone who takes a neder b'Torah does not say anything. Now, what happened over here is not clear. According to many of the Rishonim, you can see this in the Rosh, says it right on the spot, the first Rosh, Hanoder b'Torah, Hanoder lav davka, el nishba. Over here, we're not talking about a neder, we're talking about a shvua. V'tani l'shvua b'lashon neder. And wrote a shvua and a l'shon neder, which is common throughout this Masechta, he says. It's something that happens all the time. That even though they mean shvua, because we're in Nedarim maybe, they call it a neder. So it says here, a noder b'Torah is as if someone who's nishba b'Torah. Someone who's taking a shvua with the Torah. How that works, again, we'll talk about it in a second. That's the way that the Rosh and the Ran also takes up that approach, which is that the, we're speaking about over here is a shvua and not a neder. On the other hand, the Ran brings in the name of the Raivud, and we know the Ravid Shita is that over here when we're talking about neder, it means neder mamash. And what we're talking about here is a neder and not a shvua. So as we go through the whole bright over here, we just have to keep in mind that there's some who are approaching this as a shvua and some who are approaching this as a neder. And then in each case, you have to explain why it's working. So a noder b'Torah lo amar klum, b'meh shekatuv ba dvarav kayamim. But if he takes this neder or shvua with what's written in it, then his words are upheld. Ba ubemashe katuv ba. If he takes it in it, and that which is written in it, dvarav kayamim. So now the Gemara is going to ask the obvious question here. The Braita just gave you three instances. One where he's noder ba, which is mean ba Torah. A case where he's noder ba meshe katuv ba. And then you have a third case, which is where he says ba ubemashe katuv ba. So obviously, if it works by ba meshe katuv ba, then when he says ba ubemashe katuv ba, it certainly should work. What's the deficit there? So the Gemara says, "Ktani b'meshe katuv ba dvarav kayamim, ba ubemeshe katuv ba tzarich lemeimar." In a case where he wrote b'meshe katuv ba, it works. Then ba ubemeshe katuv ba tzarich lemeimar. You have to tell me about that case. It's obvious. Pshita Amar Rav Nachman lo kasha. Nachman says it's not a question. Ha de machta oraita aaro. That's a case where the Torah is on the floor. Ha de noki lo biyode. The cases where it was in his hands. Machta al aaro. If it's on the ground, date agvile, then his mind is on the parchment itself. Nakat labiode, if it's in his hands, then date alaz karocheba. Then he has in mind the Shemot Hashem that are found inside of it. All right, so let's go through this. First of all, the machta alare, that the Torah is on the floor, what does that mean? So according to most Mefarshim, it's just the opposite or the contrast to him holding it. Either the Torah is in your arms, or it's on the ground. On the ground doesn't literally mean on the floor. It just means right on the table, on the bima. Right, he's not holding it. That's right. Except for Rashi. If you look in Rashi, he says, Munachat al aretz. It's literally on the floor. So you know, for Rashi, you can understand what the distinction over here is. Rashi says, Savar ho'il munachat al aretz, vaday ein katuvba. The fact that it's on the ground must mean that it doesn't have kedusha. Because why would the Sefer Torah be found on the ground if it had Kedusha? The fact that it's on the ground already indicates that there's no Kedusha associated with it. Therefore, any neder or shvua that you are taking obviously does not focus on the Shemot Hashem or anything of Kedusha. On the other hand, came into monkey lebiode be kavod. He's holding it in his hands with a sense of kavod. V'ru'ev yodea mashem tocha. And he knows that there's a Torah written inside of it. Then for sure, what he meant is, b'meshe katuv ba dvarev kayamim. Then his words are upheld, the shvua gemura chashiva, because then it's like a full-fledged shvua. So what the Gemara is saying over here is, as the Ran is explaining, is that when you have it in your arms, then you're holding a davar shemik dusha. So if you say bet Torah, it still doesn't work, because you're saying Torah. Torah means the whole package that you have here, and that's not necessarily focused on what's written inside of it. On the other hand, if you say b'meshe katuv ba, then we know you're focused on what's written inside of it. What's written inside of it? Azkarot, the Shemot Hashem. The Shemot Hashem means that I'm taking a shvua B'shem Hashem. And therefore, according to the ones who say that it's a Shavuah over here, taking a Shavuah B'Gvileh is like taking a Shavuah B'Kedushat Sefer Torah, which is not sufficient. That has no impact on the Shavuah itself. Rather, it has to be that you're taking the Shavuah B'li Azkarot in the Shemot Hashem. That has significance or makes a difference with regards to a Shavuah. And that's what the Nikitka Sefer Torah, when you say B'Meshe Ketubah, does for you. It makes it as if you're taking a Shavuah B'Shem Hashem. How that works probably is a derivative of Shavuot HaDayanim. By Shavuot HaDayanim, when you're in Beit Din and they force you to take a Shavuah, one of the requirements of taking the Shavuah, aside from being B'Shem Hashem, is that you have a Nikitat Chefetz. You have to have an object of Kedusha in your arms, and therefore they make him hold a Sefer Torah. Why they make him hold a Sefer Torah? Either to indicate the severity or the importance of the Shavuah that he's taking, or in order to force him to speak the truth. And that we're just giving him more and more reasons to say, listen, your Shavuah is not just the Shavuah, it's not just B'Shem Hashem, it includes the Torah, different things. Some people need a physical object to make them understand that they're telling the truth. The same thing in the secular courts where they have you put your hand on the Bible, when that had meaning. The early years of America, the people were extremely religious and were new chapter and verse. They quote Tehillim. You see this Jefferson and all these other individuals are quoting Tehillim in the voting over the Declaration of Independence. It's clear that these are religious people, and therefore putting your hand on the Bible has a significant meaning. It's the same thing there. Nikita Tchefetz, they got it from the Jewish way of doing this in court. But obviously in a case where people don't place significance on the Bible, then putting your hand on the Bible is no different to them than putting your hand on a piece of wood. But in the concept where people believed or had a certain amount of reverence for the Torah, then Nikitat Chefetz is a really big deal. And the fact that you're holding a Torah makes it you're taking a Shavuah B'Shem Hashem. That's if you believe that it's a Shavuah. Now, what happens if you believe it's a Neder? If you believe it's a Neder, then you need to be Matpis. So how are you Matpis over here? So the way the Ravid explains it is that you're Matpis for the Shemot Hashem. The Shemot Hashem that have Kedusha in the Torah, you're Matpis that Kedusha over to the Neder that you are taking over here. So that's interesting because all of the Torah has Kedusha. And so does the Gevil. And so does the parchment have Kedusha. So there are different explanations given over here. Some say that the Hadpasa is actually in the Kedusha of the Sefer Torah in general. Not just in the Azkarot. The Yerushalmi, as Ram points out here, has a different view. That it's actually your Matpis and the Korbanot that are mentioned in the Torah. The word Korban or Korbanot that are mentioned in the Torah, which are the Iker type of Hadpasa that you use, that's the Hadpasa you're using. So the Ravid sees that as parallel to our Gemara, and therefore he says that here your Matpis B'Shem Hashem, that's what our Gemara believes, the Azkarot, and others believe that the Rishami believes it's just with the Korbanot. Others say Azkarot are not B'Shemot Hashem, but the Korbanot that are mentioned. Azkaram is just mentioned. Generally it focuses on Shemot Hashem, and they try to even reconcile further between the Bavli and Yerushalmi. There are other Rishonim, like the Rashba, who disagrees with the Ravid and says, you can't create that pasa in that way, and the Bavli just disagrees with the Yerushalmi. The Bavli is talking about Azkarot Hashem and Shavuah, and Yerushalmi is talking about the word Korban inside of it, and they're totally different paths that Yerushalmi and Bavli do not agree at all. The reason why the Azkarot might be different than other parts of the Torah, so first of all, in terms of the Gevil, you could argue that the Gevil only takes on Kedusha once something's written in the Torah. So it's actually, the Gevil does have Kedusha, but it's Kedusha is derived from the ktiva that's inside of it. And if that's the case, it doesn't have inherent kedusha. It has kedusha because it's a derivative of being written on. Now, why is there a difference between the azkarot versus the ktiva and the Sefer Torah? All of them require the sofer to have in mind that he's writing this, the Shem Sefer Torah. So why is an azkara different than the fact that he's writing something the Shem Sefer Torah? So I think Reb Chaim over here distinguishes between the normal writing of a Sefer Torah, where one has to have kavanah to write the Sefer Torah, the Shem Sefer Torah, but then the otiot, or the letters, automatically get kedusha. The fact that now you write them into the Sefer Torah, that's what grants them the kedusha. You just have to have in mind that it's for a Sefer Torah. By the Azkarot Hashem, not only do you, by having kavanah, make them part of the Sefer Torah, but you imbue them with kedusha. That the sofer himself is what imbues those names with kedusha, and therefore they're distinct or distinguished from the other writing in the Sefer Torah, and that's why the Gemara here is focused on the Azkarot and not just on all the Kedusha of the Sefer Torah. Because the Ezkarot is something that when you or the Sofer generates the Kedusha, not some Kedusha that comes with what we call Memeila. Just because it's a part of a Sefer Torah, it automatically gains Kedusha. Therefore, he distinguishes between Ezkarot and the rest of the Sefer Torah. It's one of the things when you have to buy for someone who's trustworthy, because you never know if the Shemot Hashem were written properly b'kedusha or not. And the Gemara talks about cases where you have the written by Tzdukim or Sefer Torah that are not imbued with that kedusha, but they have the Shem Hashem written in it. How do you deal with that? How do you put into Geniza? You know, there are issues. The other question that Rishonim deal with is other Kitvei HaKodesh. What's the story? Is it only a Sefer Torah? Or is it true of other Kitvei HaKodesh? Now, if you're going along the lines of the Yerushalmi, that you're just looking for the word Korban inside of it, if you find other Sfarim that have the word Korban inside of it, maybe it would work. And same is true here by the Ezkarot. If it's all about the Ezkarot or the Shemot Hashem, maybe that would be good enough to find other Sifrei Kodesh that have the Shemot Hashem, and maybe that would work. But the Rambam distinguishes and says it only works with Sefer Torah and not Kitvei HaKodesh. And there are many other Rishonim that take that approach. Number one, we see by Shvat HaDayanim that Nikita Tchefetz requires Sefer Torah and not Kitvei HaKodesh. Or as the Radbaz explains in the Sheet of the Rambam, that the Ezkarot, the Shemot Hashem that are in the Kitvei HaKodesh, do not have the same level of Kedusha as the Sefer Torah. And therefore, it doesn't work in terms of using the Ezkarot in the Kitvei HaKodesh versus the Ezkarot in the Sefer Torah. Rav Soloveitchik distinguishes, and this is a greater Torah, the distinguishing between the Kedusha of Sefer Torah and the Kedusha of Kitvei HaKodesh. And that there is a difference. One of those big differences is based on the Gemara and Shabbat about whether a Sefer Torah Chaser is Kadosh or not Kadosh versus Kitvei HaKodesh. By Kitvei HaKodesh, we know this from Megillat Esther. The Gemara in Megillat tells us that even if you're missing whole words, even if you're missing paragraphs in there, as long as you're not missing Rov, then you can read it Baal Peh. But even more importantly, if you can make out the sense of what was supposed to be there without the word, then it's not a problem. In a Sefer Torah, that's not the case. If you're missing words in a Sefer Torah, not a Kedusha, you need the 85 letters. This week's Parsha, Vayim Bitzoa, that we learn out from the Vayim Bitzoa, the 85 letters that are found there, that that's the minimum of a sequential writing within a Sefer Torah that gives it or makes it retain its Kedusha as a Sefer Torah. But what you see from that is that there's a big difference between a ktiva and a Sefer Torah and a ktiva and Kitvei HaKodesh. Ktiva and Kitvei HaKodesh does not have that type of sense of ktiva that imbues the kedusha that it does by Sefer Torah. But Kitvei HaKodesh, even if you're missing something, it still has a din of Kitvei HaKodesh. On the Sefer Torah, the ktiva itself is what generates the kedusha, and if you're missing any ktiva, it's as if it's not kadosh anymore, it's missing, it's not a Sefer Torah. And therefore, the difference or the distinction that you might draw over here is exactly that. When you're talking about Masha Ketuvah, Ketivah is only significant when it comes to Sefer Torah. It's not significant when it comes to Kitvei HaKodesh. And therefore, you can only use Sefer Torah in this sense and not a Kitvei HaKodesh. But Ketivah and a Kitvei HaKodesh is not so important. Ketivah and a Sefer Torah is so important that if you say Masha Ketuvah, that does generate the Neder, or that has significance or Kedusha in of itself. So now, what you have over here is that in the case where you're holding the Sefer Torah, if you say ba, it doesn't work. If you say b'masha katuv ba, it does work. If it's machtal ara, if it's down, either according to Rashi on the ground, or according to the other Rishonim, it's on a table, it's just not in your hands, then if you say ba, u'b'masha katuv ba, it works. Because there you're making it clear. Ba is the Torah, b'masha katuv ba is the writing. On the other hand, if you just said b'masha katuv ba, it wouldn't work. Because even though normally when I was holding it in my hands, we said Mesha Ketubah, we focus on what's written in it. Nevertheless, when it's on the ground, that's not the case. Either because Rashi says it's not obvious, because it's on the ground. So Mesha Ketubah, you don't think there's anything written in it. So you must be referring to the Gvil, according to the other Rishonim, because Mesha Ketubah can be interpreted either as literally what's written in it, or Mesha Ketubah means that it's a Ketuv. It's something that has significance in itself, and therefore we think you're focused on the Gvil. But when you say ba, uber Mesha Ketubah, then it's clear that the Gvil is the ba, and the Mesha Ketubah is the writing. In that case, it will work. So that's the first answer that's given over here. So, Amar Rav Nachman lo kash, ada machtal oraita aara, ada nakadei biyode. Machtal aara, if it's on the ground, date agvile. When he says, uber Mesha Ketubah, he's referring to the Gvil, to the parchment. Nakadei biyode, if he's holding in his hands, then when he says, uber Mesha Ketubah, date al azkarot shaba, then his mind is on the azkarot. Viva itayma, the machta al aro. No, it's cases where he's not holding it, period. Va'akamash malan. The apagav the machta al aro. that even though it's on the ground, Kevin Damar Bamesha Katuvba Mahani, that teaches you that even though he said Mamaksha Katuvba, it still works in that case because he specified Mamaksha Katuvba. Vizu in Sarach Lamar Zuktani. It's telling you not only this, but this, which is the case of Ba doesn't work. Case of Mamaksha Katuvba does work. Not only does that work, but also Ba Uba Mamaksha Katuvba is going to work. Vibai Teima. So now we have a last one here that's a little bit messy in the gear sold, which is Ibai Teima Kula Seifa Nami Noki Labiode or Kula Mitsiata. Question about what the Giras is, or Kula without any of these words. Kula Nami the Noki Labiode. The whole case is a case where he's holding in his hand. Va'akamash Malan. Came in the Noki Labiode since he's holding in his hands. Afagab Dolomar Elaba. Kamanda Amar Bameshikatu Badami. So now the difference is that just the opposite of what we said in the first instance. Over here, when he's holding it in his hands, if he says ba, it's the equivalent of saying Ramesha Katuv ba. So that's the last line in the Mishnah. If you're holding that, that's when you're holding the Torah, that last case. So if you're holding the Torah and you say ba, that means that you definitely are focused on Ramesha Katuv ba. But the fact that you're holding it already means that you know that you're holding a Torah. Ba is inferred. But if it's on the ground, then there's a distinction between ba and Ramesha Katuv ba. Ba doesn't work. Ramesha Katuv ba does work. But then when you're holding it, you don't even need Mishnah Ketubah. Ba itself will be sufficient. And that's how you'd read that last line of the Braita, which is Ba is the equivalent to saying B'Mishnah Ketubah. As Iran explains over here, now the Seifa that says Ba B'Mishnah Ketubah, derived Kayamim Lo Tzvicha L'Gufa L'Gluli Aresha. It's not going to tell you about that case itself, but tell you that the Resha case is the Manchal Arahi. That's a case where it's on the ground. And that's why we distinguish between Ba B'Mishnah Ketubah. But had it been in Nikita and Chayfetz, it was in his hands, then there would be no such distinction. And as we mentioned before, the Raivud thinks it's talking about Nidarim, and the other Rishonim thinks it's talking about a Shvuah. And as the Ram points out, the Rambam actually paskins both. He paskins both that it's referring to Shvuah, as well as referring to Neder. And he says, Ar Gemara, which seems to read like a Shvuah, because it mentions the Azkarot Hashem, which are really relevant or significant by a Shvuah. And therefore, our Gemara here in Nidarim is referencing a Shvuah that using the Sefer Torah works. And he uses the Yushalmi that focuses on the word Korban, which is clearly talking about a Neder over there, to tell you that the Din is true also by Neder. So the Ran says that the Rambam's Shita makes sense. He passes like the Bavli, and he passes like the Yushalmi. They're not mutually exclusive, but they clearly have different directions. The Bavli is focused on the Shvuah, and the Yerushalmi is focused on the Neder, but he paskins like both of them, they both work in terms of either Nikita Tchefetz or Shem Hashem, like our Gemara over here, that works for the Shvuah, or Hatpasa, like the Yerushalmi says, like the Raivid says over there. Okay, now the next Mishnah begins. Konam Shani Yashen. Person takes a Neder that he will not sleep. Shani Medaber, that he will not speak. Shani Malech, that he will not walk. Now, most of the Rishonim say that the word here should be she'ani and not she'eni. The reason being that konam is a lashon of neder. And by neder, the focus is on, we'll see in a second, you, yourself, and not on your relationship with the object. So had you said she'eni yashen, that I will not sleep, that is definitely a shvuah. And here we're focused on the neder, as we'll see in the Gemara. Omer li'isha, konam she'ani misham sheikh. He says, I'm taking a neder that I will not have tashmish amita. I will not cohabitate with you. The neder takes effect. And we'll see why later on, why the darim take effect even in the face of other obligations. So Maris, I'm going to ask the obvious question, which is, we already learned that nidarim focus on the chayfetz, and shva focuses on the individual, the gavra. Over here, when you're talking about intangible objects like sleep and speech, where is the chayfetz? Where is the object here on which the neder is chal? So obviously, as the Gemara will indicate later, that these nedarim are talking about where he says, Konami nai shani yashen. That he actually connects the neder to a part of his body, like his eyes, or konam pi midaber. Or that he makes the konam, the neder, associated with his mouth, that he won't speak. And therefore, there's a chayfetz, an object upon which the neder is chal, to create the intangible object over here that will have the neder take effect. So that will be explained later on. So now the Gemara begins. Itmar. We have a machloket. Now this machloket will be important because we're going to ask a question on it tomorrow's daf from our Mishnah. So we'll learn the machloket now and then we'll continue with the question from our Mishnah tomorrow. Shizitmar. Konam einai b'sheina hayom. A person says that I will not sleep today. Imishan lemachar, if I sleep tomorrow. Condition is that if he sleeps tomorrow, then he will have to have not slept today. So there is risk involved here, because if he sleeps today, there's a risk that he will trigger the neder tomorrow by going to sleep. So now, do we allow him to sleep today because of that possibility or that risk that he might not keep his condition tomorrow? So Amar Rav Yehuda Marav, Al Yishan Ayom, he should not sleep today. Shemi Yishan LaMachar, because maybe he'll end up sleeping tomorrow. So as a preventative measure, we tell you don't sleep today because there's a risk that you'll fall asleep tomorrow. Rav Nachman Amar, Yishan Ayom, Velo Chashinan Shemi Yishan LaMachar. Let him sleep today. And then he'll just have to uphold his tanai or his condition tomorrow, and he will not be able to sleep tomorrow. Omode Rav Yehuda, and Rav Yehuda agrees, Bomer kunam einai b'sheina l'machar, that if a person says that I'm taking a neder, that my eyes will see no sleep tomorrow, imishan ayom, if I sleep today, shishan ayom, then he can sleep today. He can trigger the neder and then not sleep tomorrow. Kilo mizdair b'tana. When a person is not careful, it's in a case where there's a tanai, Aval b'isur mizdair. But when it comes to nisur, then he is very careful. So here you have a machlok between Rabbi Yehuda Marav and Rabbi Nachman about the way that people relate to nidarim. In a case where a person puts the condition up front, and then the condition triggers a neder, in that case, both Rabbi Yehuda Marav and Rabbi Nachman agree that the person can sleep today and trigger the neder. That's fine. He put a condition in. If he wants to trigger the neder, so be it. Let him sleep today, and then he will trigger the neder, and then he'll have to abide by his neder tomorrow. We don't worry about that, because people are careful about their nedarim. The question we have, or the problem that we have, is where the neder precedes the tanai, which is where the case where he says that the neder is that he won't sleep today if he sleeps tomorrow. So the problem is that by the time he gets to triggering the neder is already passed, so the time for the neder is already passed. And the question is a person careful in that instance? So if a person took a neder that I won't sleep today, if I do sleep tomorrow, then the neder is about today. Rav Nachman says, go ahead, let him sleep today. He hasn't triggered the neder yet. There's no problem with that. He'll sleep today, and tomorrow he won't be able to sleep, because otherwise he'll be retroactively in violation of the neder, and he'll have to stay awake tomorrow. Rav Yehuda says, ain't ochanami, that works. But we don't depend on people to do that, because people are not so careful when it comes to triggering nidarim about their conditions. They don't see the trigger or the condition as being something as important as the nether itself. So in this case where the first day elapsed, and now the next day, the reason he doesn't have to sleep is not because of his nether, but rather because of the condition that it might trigger the nether from the day before. People are less concerned with that, less careful about that, and therefore they're going to come to trigger the nether. So, because they will sleep on that day. So therefore, what Rabbi Yehuda Marav says is you must do is not sleep the first day to ensure that if you do trigger the neder the next day, you will be in compliance. And then Rav Nachman says, let him sleep today. He'll just have to keep the condition tomorrow. We'll rely on him to keep the condition. Just like when there's a neder, you believe him and we trust him to uphold his neder. So too, if he knows that this is going to trigger a neder retroactively, that he will also be careful about it. So here we have a machloket amoraim about whether people are careful about conditions, or they're only careful about nidarim. Rav Yehuda says they're only careful about the neder itself, not about the condition or the trigger. Whereas Rav Nachman says they're careful about both items, and that leads them to their difference in opinion of whether they can sleep on the first day, in a case where the neder is about the first day, and the tanai, the condition's on this second day. All right, we're going to stop here on the second line on the top of Tet Vavam and Aleph. We're going to ask for our Mishnah tomorrow, and then address the issue that we mentioned as the problem in the Mishnah, which is, if it is a neder, how is it chal here on an intangible object when there's no chafetz upon which the neder should be chal?